poor and mean and lowly, let honor your God most holy.
Timothy, our district president, for all pastors in Christ, for all servants of the church, and for all the people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Donald, our president, JB, our governor, for all public servants, for the government and those who protect us, that they may be upheld and strengthened in every good deed, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who work to bring peace, justice, health, and protection in this and every place, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who bring offerings, those who do good works in this congregation, those who toil, those who sing, and all the people here present who await from the Lord great and abundant mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For favorable weather, for an abundance of the fruits of the earth, and for peaceful times, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our deliverance from all affliction, wrath, danger, and need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of the gospel that Jesus was born to save us sinners, and for faith in Christ for all people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are sick, mourning, or enduring hardship, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the faithful who have gone before us and are with you, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks find the Behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in the lonely manger, the blessed Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Any other children would like to come forward? Blessed Christmas to you. If I say, I give you my word, what does that mean? I promise, whatever I say, I'm going to do. For instance, if I tell you that before we're done here, I'm going to pass these out to you guys and ask you to help me with them later in the service, I give you my word. Well, that means I'm really going to do it. If God says, I give you my word, will he keep his promise?
Yes.
How do you know? And he always keeps his promises, doesn't he? And that's a good thing, because we've got a problem. Every one of us is dying. And there's nothing we can do to stop it. But we have a God who's got a way of turning that around, who says, I'm going to restore your life. I'm going to send you a Savior. Who's the Savior? Jesus is the Savior, right? And how did he save you from sin? How did he save you from death? By dying on the cross. Did he stay dead after he died?
No.
No, he came back to life again, didn't he, after 3 days? But he couldn't die, and he couldn't rise to life again unless he first was born, right? And so Christmas is the day when we celebrate Jesus, that Jesus was born. We even have a creche to remind us of that. And there's an angel, and there's livestock. There are sheep and shepherds, and there are Mary and Joseph. What's missing?
Jesus.
Well, we'll put Jesus in the manger to remind us what this day is all about. There's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's right. Now let's walk back over here. Remember what the problem is? We're going to die. But the promise is God's going to send somebody who is going to reverse our death. He says, I give you my word. And actually, we're going to listen to one promise after another that God's going to send a Savior today. And in each promise, he's going to give us a little more information so that when Jesus is born, we know for sure he's the Savior. So I'm going to pass these out, and on the back of each one of them is a number. And when your number comes up, I would like you to bring that up to me, and I will call the number, and whenever I call that number, you bring it up, and you'll help me to put it on the board and tell the story. Okay, remember, the problem is we're going to die. The promise is God's going to send a Savior who's going to undo death, and he says, I give you my word. That's what this service is about. You can go back to your seats, and we'll continue the service. A reading from Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Adam said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And the Lord said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." And the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all the animals and among all the wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will crush his heel." This is the word of the Lord. God warns Adam and Eve, "Eat from this tree and you will die." They don't listen. They eat. They die. God warns you and me, "The soul that sins will die." He even gives us 10 commandments so we know exactly what sins can kill us. But we don't listen. We die. We're in the same predicament as Adam and Eve. There's nothing you can do to fix your problem of death. You can't undo it. You can't stop yourself from dying. It's going to happen. Your only hope is for a God to come send a Savior who will cause that death to be undone, who will give you life instead of death. And God promises He will do just that. Did you notice in this particular passage, He said that He was going to send one who was going to crush Satan for us? That would be the Satan who brought sin into the world, who brought death to us. And He said that that one would be an offspring of Eve, a descendant of Eve. So now we have the field starting to narrow, which is to say the Savior is not going to be an angel, it's not going to be an animal, it is going to be a descendant of Eve, a human. God says, "I give you my word." Oh, and I forgot, who has number one? Thank you, Zach. So we're going to see the picture coming together as we go along here. Not much of a picture yet. We'll see. From Genesis chapters 12 and 22. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord told him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Many years later, the Lord repeated that promise to Abram. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Who has number two? So the problem's still the same. We are dying. Thank you. And the promise is still the same. One who will give life instead of death. We've learned that the Savior will be a descendant of Eve. Now we learn that he will also be a descendant of Abraham. If he's a descendant of Eve, he's a human. If he's a descendant of Abraham, he is a Jewish human. For the Jews are descended from Abraham. We're starting to narrow the field. God says, I give you my word.
Confessing that your love has set us free.
A reading from Isaiah 11. A shoot shall come out of the stump of David's father, Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Then the wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Number three. Thank you. So the problem is still the same. We're dying. The promise is still the same. It is one who will give us life instead of death. And we know now that he will be a descendant of Eve, a descendant of Abraham. And this passage told us he will also be a descendant of David, which is to say he will be from the royal family. So now we know that when the Savior shows up, he will be a royal Jewish human. God says, I give you my word.
God and yet true man.
He came to save his people from earth's dark night of sin. Oh, save your child of Mary, who felt all human woe. Oh, save your King of glory, who triumphed o'er our foe. Bring us at length, we pray, to the bright courts of heaven and into endless day.
A reading from Micah chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return and join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will dwell securely, for then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Number 4. Thank you. The problem's still the same. We're dying. The promise is still the same, one who will give us life. We found out that he will be a descendant of Eve, a descendant of Abraham, a descendant of David, and now that he is also one who will rule forever, but be born in this little tiny town called Bethlehem, which just happens to be, not by coincidence, David's hometown. So now we know that the Savior will be royal, Jewish, human, and born in Bethlehem. God says, I give you my word.
Reading from Luke chapter 1.
God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Number 5. Thank you. The problem is still the same. We're dying. The promise is still God is going to send one to undo that death. One who is going to be a descendant of Eve, a descendant of Abraham, a descendant of David, born in Bethlehem, which narrowed it a lot. But I believe this promise narrowed it to one. He is also going to be born of a virgin named Mary. So he is going to be a royal Jewish human born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin named Mary. God says, "I give you my word." From Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. which means God with us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And number six.
Hi, Dada.
Hi, James. Now the picture is starting to fill in. The angel tells Joseph that not only will this Savior, who is going to undo our death, be a descendant of Eve, a descendant of Abraham, a descendant of David, born in Bethlehem, and born from a virgin named Mary, he will also be God with us. And his name will be Jesus. The name Jesus means the Lord saves. It tells us who he is, the Lord, the one who created everything, who loves everything, who intends to restore everything. And it tells us what he has come to do. Save. Save us from the consequences of our sins, which is to say, save us from death. God says, I give you my word. Reading from Luke chapter 2. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the town of Nazareth and to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Number 7. Thank you. Mary brings forth her firstborn son, wraps him in swaddling cloths, and lays him in a manger. Is it the right child? Well, the shepherds knew where to look. They were told. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. I believe that narrowed down the choices. There weren't very many babies lying in livestock troughs in Bethlehem. I like the way God keeps narrowing it down so that when the Savior arrives, there is absolutely no doubt this is the right one. Let's see. The problem when Jesus is born is still that we are dying. The promise is still that God is going to send one to restore life. Is it Jesus? Well, let's go through the checklist. Is he a descendant of Eve? That is he human? Yep. Is he a descendant of Abraham? That is he Jewish? Yes. Is he a descendant of David, of the royal family? Yes. In fact, both through his mother's lineage and through his adoptive father Joseph's lineage. Let's see, is he born in Bethlehem? Yes, thanks to a census by Caesar Augustus when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Let's see, was he born of a virgin named Mary? Yes. Was he named Jesus because he would save his people from their sins? Yes. God said, I give you my word. And he kept his word, wrapped in swaddling cloths and laying in a manger for us. Now we know we've got the right Savior.
Yeah.
reading from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of a man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the Babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh, a peasant king to own him, the King of Kings, salvation brings the pierce him through, the cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
In the name of Jesus, God said, I give you my word. And when Mary brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, he had kept that promise. Very literally, the Word became flesh. His promise put skin on. Or had God kept his promise? How is it possible for a little baby in a manger to possibly restore life to us dying people? He can't. Not if he stays in the manger. But Jesus didn't stay in the manger. Because Christmas ultimately is not about anthems and angels, about shepherds and sheep. It's not for us to admire the little baby in the livestock trough. Cute as he might be, Christmas is about God sending the Savior who will give life to us dying people. It's interesting that St. John says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But he didn't stop there. He said, and we have seen his glory. Now trace that word glory through the rest of John's gospel. John will tell us that we see Jesus' glory when he turns water into wine at a wedding, that we see Jesus' glory whenever he feeds 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. We see Jesus' glory whenever he heals the sick, when he makes the lame to walk and the mute to talk. But ultimately, in John's gospel, his emphasis is that we see Jesus' glory when Jesus is hanging dead on a cross. That sounds more like gory than glory, but it is the purpose for which Jesus came. We already said his purpose wasn't to stay in the manger. His purpose was to restore life to us, which meant he had to take what was causing our death, our sin. That sent him to the cross. So maybe we should rearrange things up here to really emphasize what Christmas is all about. Maybe a manger is only the start. It's only the means by which God gets us to where he's really sending his son. Once Jesus has been to the cross, your sin has been removed from you because it's been placed on him. But as the kids told us earlier, Jesus didn't stay dead. He came back to life 3 days later so that he can restore life also to us who are dying. He takes our sin. He promises resurrection. God has kept his word. He has given life back to us dying people. Do not take that gift for granted. Don't act as if it's only once a year, or twice a year, or a handful of times a year that you need that life that your Lord is giving you. Come. Come to the Lord's house every Sunday to receive life with your fellow Christians. The life given to you with the font when you were connected to the life of Jesus who died. When you hear the promises of what he has done for us. When you taste the body and blood that were in Mary, then on the cross, and now come to you to restore life. If we're really going to understand Christmas, we shouldn't leave the baby in the manger. We shouldn't even just put the cross up there. We need to understand that that baby was going to grow and go to the cross. Today, you'll leave here and you will still be dying. But you have a promise that that is not the end of life for you. You have a promise that that baby came to be the Savior, to be the one who was Eve's offspring, a descendant of Abraham, a descendant of David, born in Bethlehem, born of the Virgin named Mary, named Jesus, who is the Word made flesh inside of Mary on a cross in a tomb, all to give you life. God said, I give you my word, and he did. His word was made flesh for you. In the name of Jesus. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light.
The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it.
On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given.
In him was life, and that life was the light of
be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, because you once caused this holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light, grant that we who have known the mystery of that light here on earth may come to the full measures of its joy in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Every heart prepare him room. heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. For as the curse is found, for as the curse is found, for as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations plural. The glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Thank you.